Got a widow who is semi-retired, has $1.3 million saved for retirement, still working, and the only reason for that is because of pre-Medicare, pre-65 healthcare costs. Can she fully retire? Hey guys, welcome back. This is Rise in Retirement. I'm Jet. He's Taco. We are financial advisors at WA Smith Financial, and we've got a great case that we want to break down with you today. Andrew, let me get you some of the details on this case. So Becky comes into our office, sits down for a retirement tune-up financial review, and sits down with one of our advisors. Here's some of the details that we learned right away in this first meeting. Becky's been watching our TV show, Retirement Solutions, for several years, but she watches a lot of shows. Okay, so she watches Dave Ramsey's stuff, and she watches some of the other local programming that's financial education. She's a widow. Husband has passed away a few years ago. She considers herself very knowledgeable. This is something that we ask everyone who comes in for a first meeting. What do you consider your knowledge level? So she is very knowledgeable in her own right. Been a DIYer, doing it herself with her investments for a long time. And she was somebody who wanted answers quickly. She wanted answers really fast. She was trying to dominate the first meeting. Couple other things to add. She's met with some advisors in the past, but never hired anyone. And she stated to our advisor that everyone that she's met has seemed very slick, very salesy. And that's why she's never gone with anyone. But now, all of a sudden, she feels that she's hit her max capacity for what she can do on her own. And she feels she needs professional guidance. So what sticks out to you right away here?
Yeah, I mean, I think someone like Becky, and we see this a lot, is here for the right reasons. I think that last thing you said, she's now kind of feeling like she's hit her max ability and needs that guidance. I think that's true. I think she does realize that there's more to it than maybe what she's done on her own up to this point. But what sticks out to me is potentially what may be happening with a Becky, where she hasn't chosen anybody to hire, she's had bad experiences, is she's almost getting in her own way.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You know, she's watching, maybe sometimes it's almost like you're watching too much stuff. You're gathering information from so many different thought processes that it's causing you to create inaction. You know, considering yourself very knowledgeable, that's great, but like in what areas?
Yeah.
There's more to it, as we all know, than just investment management or just taxes or, you know, whatever it may be. So where are you really knowledgeable? And then lastly, my takeaway is, if you're coming into these meetings with advisors, I think a tip to anybody out there who's meeting and interviewing an advisor is to, you know, let them ask you some questions and be able to start, you know, really wipe the slate clean. Versus just, I want to know this and I want to know that and tell me this, give me an answer today. What would you do with my money right now today?
Yeah.
You know, those usually don't go very well, and it leads to an advisor getting slick.
Well, they take the bait. And this is certainly not all advisors. I mean, don't take us the wrong way here. A lot of great advisors out there who are going to take a step back and really try to understand the situation for what it is and understand all the facts and the goals and the objectives of the case. But if you're the type of person that walks into a first meeting with a financial advisor and you dominate the meeting and you tell them everything that they didn't ask you, number one, you spew your financial situation out on the table in front of them, and then you tell them exactly what you want them to do, most advisors are going to take that bait. They're going to start pulling their solutions off the shelf and try to sell you their stuff. And it is going to feel slick and it is going to feel salesy, because that's kind of what you drove. So I think that's problem area number one here. Now, as we go a little bit further, we get into some of the goals and the objectives. As we got through that first part of the meeting, she wants to maximize spending in retirement, wants to make sure that she has some protection for her lifestyle. Now, what she meant by that is longevity. Okay. She wanted to make sure that she could spend as long as she's alive and not run out. That's a normal fear that we see from people all the time. But she stated right away that she's spending more than what she brings in right now. And that's, in my opinion, probably what drove her in, aside from she's getting all this education from these TV programs. She's saying to herself, maybe I do need professional guidance because I am maybe in my own mind an expert on the investments, but I don't know how to do the tax planning side. I don't know what I should be doing or what I shouldn't be doing with estate planning. And if she's watching our TV show, we're clearly stating, hey, a comprehensive financial plan is a lot more than just investment and strategy there. It's where are you getting your income from? What are you doing with estate planning? What about taxes? What about healthcare? So, you know, she's stuck in her own way. I agree with you there, but I think she also realizes that she can't do some of these things that she wants out of a comprehensive plan on her own.
Well, and Jet, I mean, we've seen this a million times that, you know, we've worked here with our company CFOs and, you know, presidents of companies, very financial savvy people who still don't know how to take income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know, you know, when to take from pre-tax money versus post-tax, you know, how, when to take Social Security, all these things that they don't know how to do. And so I think somebody like a Becky is falling into that case. Is she's semi-retired. She's working for the health insurance, like you said.
Yeah.
But she's seeing herself spend more than what's coming in, meaning she needs to start spending from her nest egg that she's built, that $1.3 million. She doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, I think the other big thing that sticks out to me here, and we see this a lot, Becky, as we'll get through the details of the, of this case here in just a second, she is working, in my opinion, for the wrong reasons. As you'll see here in a second, she can afford to retire now. She has enough money saved based on what's coming in, what her shortfall is. She can do this, but because she doesn't know how to do income planning or where to take it and how long the money's going to last, she's convincing herself that I need to still work for that health insurance cost. How many people do you meet who you go, why are you still working? Your case looks, you're in green light zone. Yep. It's not a red light. It's not a yellow light. You're green light, but you're still working. Why? Well, health insurance costs. I'm worried that it's going to, or they're delaying retirement because of that. They say, hey, no, I can't retire until I get to 65.
Yeah.
So let me lay this out for you. She's got a shortfall, doesn't know what her monthly budget is. She just knows that she's spending more than what's coming in. She's taking her Social Security right now. And she, remember, she's a widow. So she's waiting to file on her husband's Social Security until she turns 70. So I think it's a decent strategy for her. She's got $1.3 million. The bulk of that is a rollover that she did from her current 401k. So we can just assume in this case, 100% of her money is qualified. Qualified meaning when she does start to spend her assets, as you suggest, tax. She's got to pay tax on it. So in this case, her shortfall is going, and shortfall, describe shortfall for the viewers.
Yeah, you know, the gap between what she needs to live off of, not only for the base necessities, but I'm sure she's got hobbies and, you know, different things that she wants to do in retirement, versus what's coming in between that Social Security and, you know, really that's about it. She's got Social Security. So the difference between the need, Social Security, and right now the part-time income, that's her gap. And that eventually is going to get bigger when she does retire, doesn't have that, you know, those wages coming in. But I think in the, again, it goes back to why is she here? She's here to know if she's got enough money.
Yep. So do some quick math. I'm going to give you the numbers here.
Yeah.
$1.3 million is what she has, which we know. She wants to spend roughly $7,000 a month. Now she's confirming that budget, right? She didn't have a specific number. She said, well, here's what's coming in. I have about $6,000 a month coming in, but I'm spending a little bit more of that every month. So the advisor and her agreed, hey, $7,000 is probably an accurate number. $7,000 a month. When she converts to her husband's Social Security, be about $3,600 a month that she'll get. No pensions. That's the only source of income that she would have coming in when she gets to retirement. So once $7,000 a month, we'll have about $3,600 coming in per month. She's got a shortfall there. Is $1.3 million enough? This is the base way to look at this, right? This is not super specific in any right, but for this case, do you think that she has enough?
Yeah. I mean, just doing, you know, doing the simple math, obviously there might be a front end, you know, we love buckets, a front end bucket to cover health insurance costs. Maybe instead of 7,000, she needs
9,000,
you know, 9,000 for those 2 years to bridge to age 65. But outside of that, when you think long term, because that's what her concern is, the longevity of having that income coming in. I mean, she's looking at basically a withdrawal rate, a shortfall of about 40 grand a year on $1.3 million. You know, it's 3.1%. So when we talk red light, yellow light, green light, you know, I'm leaning towards a green light for her, as long as she's getting a comprehensive plan in place that's addressing some of the risks that she maybe has out there.
Let me add this and see if it changes how bright that green light is for you. Legacy is not a concern. One of her goals or objectives or questions really is, I want to make sure I'm okay and that I can spend the way I want to spend without worrying, but I also want to do it in a way where I don't leave a whole lot behind, if any. So it's not that last check bounce mentality, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
So does that change things?
It does. I mean, that's it's a great withdrawal rate if you're not worried about, you know, leaving a giant legacy at that point. I mean, if 3.1 or, you know, even up to 4%, you know, probably even 5% being a widow that's not worried about leaving legacy, you know, you're definitely in a good spot to retire. So what Becky has been missing, and maybe it's truly that she's been interviewing the wrong people at the end of the day, is getting away from just diving into, maybe it's just investment advice that she's going in and saying, hey, I want to know what you do with my money. Is we gotta look back at this at a much higher level and lay out a plan, you know, that starts with the foundation, which is, how are we going to generate that income? And kind of point to the fact, and I think we talked about this prior, is you're working for the wrong reasons. You should be working because you either love it or you need the income. She doesn't need the income. She wants to retire. She's just doing it simply for health insurance, which, as we mentioned, that health insurance can be built into the budget. She needs a high-level plan that tells her how to get the income at the end of the day.
Yep. So we're giving Becky here, in this case example, I would say a very bright green light. What Becky has to do is get out of her own way a little bit. She has to go into these financial meetings that she's having with advisors with the right mentality and sit back and listen and answer questions and get out of her own way as far as focusing on the investments, focusing on the wrong things. If you've got a case that you want us to go through here on Rise in Retirement, drop the details in the comments below. We would love to review your case with you and put out a video so that we can give you that red light, yellow light, green light that you're looking for. Sign up for Ascend 360 Insider. We have a weekly email video series that's absolutely complimentary, free. Go to ascend360insider.com or just click on the link in the description below and you can sign up for that. We'll have weekly videos sent to your inbox every single Thursday. And if you have not yet subscribed, make sure to hit that subscribe button, hit the bell notification so that you're alerted of upcoming videos. We'll see you next time on Rise in Retirement.